Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Slash Film Daily for Thursday, March 30th, 2023. On today's episode of the show, we are going to gather around the virtual water cooler and talk about what we've been up to. My name is Ben Pearson. I'm an editor at slashfilm.com, and I'm joined on today's episode by Slash Film editor and chief film critic, Chris Evangelista.
Hello.
Chris, how's it going? What are you up to these days?
All right. No, I have a cold, so if my voice sounds weird to those out there in podcast land, that's why I have a cold.
Well, best wishes. Feel better. I just got back from a quick trip to Los Angeles. I went out there for an old friend's wedding, and I had a chance to visit the Academy Museum, which was really, really cool. Have you seen or read or seen any videos or anything like that from this place, Chris?
I've seen some photos, and I hope one day I get to go.
Yeah, it's very fun. It's like huge. It's like a 4-story build, or maybe 5 stories even, building right there out in sort of the heartland of Los Angeles. And they have this really cool Casablanca exhibit up right now with like the old pianos, like the Play at Sam pianos and stuff. And there was a version of the script called Everybody Comes to Rick's that was like a very, very early version that sort of was then adapted into what we know as Casablanca. And there's like that actual script is just like hanging out on the wall. And there's a big Godfather exhibit up right now that has like the horse head in like a, you know, like a glass case where you can walk up and see it. And, you know, some of the musical instruments that they used for the scores and the sheet music for the main title for the score, and a recreation of the Godfather's desk from the first movie, and like that whole room that's roped off. You can't like go take a selfie sitting in the chair or anything. But yeah, just like so much incredible, cool like movie history stuff. And there's some more modern stuff too. There's like C-3PO and some costumes from, you know, Black Panther, and like the Shape of Water creature was there. And there's some really cool stuff that you would have loved, Chris. The backdrop, like matte painting stuff from Batman Returns, the Tim Burton movie, was there were several examples of like the Batcave and like the cityscape and, you know, Gotham and all that stuff. And you could see like little parts of it where the filmmakers would just essentially cut out everything else and like, or cut out a small hole and have the entire, shoot the entire, sequence where you can only see this tiny part in live action. Everything else is this giant matte painting. It's all like, you know, gorgeously done, of course. Bruce the shark from Jaws is like hanging out there. So anyway, really great stuff. If you ever have a chance to visit LA, I would definitely add it to your list of things to see. There's so much cool stuff there. Let's get into what we've been watching, Chris. What have you been checking out recently?
I am all caught up on Succession. I actually never watched this show before. And once they announced it was ending, I was like, well, all right, I better finally get around to watching it. And I love it now. It's just as good as everyone says it is. I actually had tried it when it first came out. I watched the first episode and I was like, this is not for me. But obviously since then, everyone has been talking about how great it is. So I gave it a chance and yeah, I love it. While I'll be sad to see it go, I am glad it's like going out on top. It didn't wait. The show didn't wait until it got bad until it ended. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how it all wraps up. I've seen the first four episodes of this new season, but that's it so far. So I don't know how it ends or anything like that.
I had the exact same experience as you, Chris. Like everybody has been talking about the show for so many years and I just like missed it when it first started. And my wife and I just started watching it. We watched the pilot episode on our flight back to Florida, actually. So I've only seen the pilot and that's it. But we're going to try to, you know, essentially burn through the entire series in time to catch the finale, because I feel like it's going to be one of those shows that like everybody is talking about, you know, how it wraps up. And like, I've been able to avoid spoilers and stuff for the show because I didn't know any of the character names and like was able to just sort of, you know, duck, dive, dip, dodge, and whatever the hell that phrase is from Dodgeball, maneuver my way around. But I feel like the finale of Succession is going to be like something is going to happen that people are going to ruin for me essentially. So, I wanted to take this opportunity to catch up. So I'm excited to hear that you love it. Cause I watched the pilot and was very impressed with that. And, I'm looking forward to spending time with what is clearly a group of deranged, horrible people. So, yes. What else have you been watching recently?
I've just finished the first season of Shrinking, which is the Apple TV Plus series with Jason Segel and Harrison Ford. And I really like this. It's not like a fantastic show. I don't think it's like a great show, but it's charming enough. And Harrison Ford is really good on this show. He's very funny. He's playing, you know, a grumpy guy, which obviously comes natural to him, but he's also really, really funny on the show. Like he's doing some of his best work in years on the show. Yeah. So if you're a Harrison Ford fan and want to see him play a very funny, very grumpy psychiatrist, this is the show for you.
That's interesting because I remember hearing when the show first debuted, I think it was like two or three episodes in, and there was a slight conversation around it at that time that was like, is Harrison Ford like just phoning this in? But to hear you say he's doing some of his best work in years, that actually makes me want to watch the show. Whereas some of that earlier conversation made me be like, oh, I can push this down further down my pile of things to see.
Yeah. I don't think he's phoning it at all. I think he's doing really great work here. So yeah, I would recommend Shrinking.
Okay. What do you think about Jason Segel in the show? Are you like a big Jason Segel guy? What's your history with him?
I'm not like a huge fan of him, but I do like him and he's good in the show. He's really good at playing like sad guys who are also funny. And that's pretty much what he has to do here. And he's doing a really good job of it. I never watched How I Met Your Mother. So I don't
know. Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. I watched like the first few episodes and the laugh track was so distracting. I was like, I can't watch this show anymore.
That's the most Chris reason to not watch a show.
Cause it was clearly like a fake laugh. It was not like there's no audience there. It was clearly like, like they were pumping it in and it was just really, really distracting. So I had no interest in finishing it. But, you know, I love his Muppets movie, so there's that. Yeah. So, yeah.
Excellent. Okay, what else have you been watching? Something, I guess, a little bit more violent than Shrinking?
Yes, I of course, watched John Wick Chapter 4, which is out now. And there's not much else to say about that movie other than, you know, it really is as good as everyone's saying. It's very long. You know, it's almost a full 3 hours. But it kind of earns that time because it's a very epic, big movie. And I was just really impressed with just how this franchise has shaped out, because when you watch that first movie, you don't think oh, this is going to become an action franchise, you know, and it's pretty much well known by this time that first movie was for almost up until release was being considered as like a direct to video action movie. And at the time, Keanu Reeves was not sort of like, obviously he was a star, but his star was like on the decline a little bit. So it was sort of like almost like a joke, like, oh, a new Keanu Reeves movie called John Wick. What a dumb name. And then that movie turned out to be really good. And it just, the series just got better and better from there as they built up this mythology and, you know, this world building. And this movie feels like the culmination of everything that's happened. And I really dug John Wick Chapter 4.
Man, yeah, I'm excited. I've not had a chance to see this because I was out of town, but I think I'm going to try to go see it tonight. Yeah, it's really fascinating to think about like where Keanu's career was at that time, because I think he was coming off like the 1-2 punch of Man of Tai Chi, which he directed and appeared in briefly, if I recall correctly, but that was not like a huge hit. It was kind of like a, you know, his attempt to bring the martial arts movie into, I guess, more to like mainstream American audiences or whatever. And then 47 Ronin, which was just this gigantic bomb that was, you know, almost like, you know, one of those like era defining failures, really. Like, I want to say that the director was removed from the editing room on that movie. There was all sorts of like behind the scenes trouble, and it was supposed to be like this big thing and ended up just sort of falling on its face. And then like, yeah, the next year John Wick comes out and completely like turns Keanu's career around, because he hadn't been anything really great for a little while up until that point.
Yeah, it's almost like what happened with Tom Cruise and the Mission Impossible series, because there was a period after War of the Worlds came out where I wouldn't say Tom Cruise was like declining because he's a megastar, but after War of the Worlds came out, he had his whole like Oprah jumping on the couch moment. And that sort of like, I don't want to say it killed his career, but it definitely sidetracked his career. And then the Mission Impossible movie started getting bigger and he started doing all these death-defying stunts. And now he's like, you know, people think he saved the movies basically because of Top Gun and all this. So it's kind of interesting that those two actors had this sort of decline after their, you know, their quote unquote glory days. And now they're like as beloved as ever.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Let's take a quick break and then we'll be right back.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up.
CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
All right, Chris, I have three things that I wanted to mention. I'll talk about Halloween Ends first. I finally got a chance to watch this movie. I was waiting for the longest time. This was available on Peacock, and I don't have Peacock. I mean, this sounds super obnoxious, but I have like access to some screener stuff through Peacock. So like I've watched all of Poker Face, for example. But if I miss the screener window for something, I just like can't bring myself to pay for Peacock because I don't really, you know, the library there is not deep enough yet for me to justify adding another streaming service to my list of things. So Halloween Ends was on Peacock forever, it seemed like. And then it finally got added to Amazon Prime Video recently. And I finally just sat down and watched this thing. Totally, wow. Like I missed all of the conversation about this movie when it happened because I knew that I was going to see it eventually. I did not particularly care for Halloween Kills very much. I thought that the mob mentality kind of idea was interesting on paper, but just kind of dragged out a little bit too long and was like very obvious and kind of hitting you over the head with that singular idea throughout that entire movie. So I was a little wary going into this, and it's not what I expected at all for, you know, the conclusion of this this new modern day Halloween trilogy. But I kind of dug it. It's like, it's a really strange movie, and it introduces this this character named Corey, who is like it kind of does what let me back up. I think the second movie, the sort of social commentary aspect that film was trying to make was made so heavy-handedly that I kind of rolled my eyes at it. But I think the social commentary in Halloween Ends, which is, you know, commenting on a different portion of society, but kind of like a different aspect, but kind of in the same ballpark, which is like this idea of like, how far can one person be pushed? And like, can someone who is inherently good be corrupted by evil, but you know, and essentially like can the surroundings of a person contribute to the evil that they are driven to almost. And I thought that stuff was explored really, really well in this Corey character, who has, as far as I know, has never been seen in the franchise before. And it's a really bold swing to essentially hijack the conclusion that everybody's expecting from this trilogy and like sort of sneak your own sub story into that, and then just kind of barely have a Laurie Strode, Michael Myers confrontation kind of at the end of the movie and like call it a day after that. So I remember, Chris, that you liked this movie. I don't remember much about the conversation around this film when it came out, but I remember you being a defender of it. How has it sat sort of in your mind since it came out?
Yeah, you know, I kind of love this movie. I love that it takes these swings. I love that it's almost doing like a COVID analogy without actually being about COVID, because it's almost like evil as an infectious disease. And and it's also about how, as righteous as the townsfolk of Haddonfield think they are, they're still just assholes who give into mob mentality. And like you said, they cover that in Halloween Kills, but it's done really poorly in Halloween Kills. And I feel like, you know, spoiler alert for the ending here, the way they have the ending where the entire town comes together to just get rid of Michael Myers. And it's like, it's like, yeah, you know, Michael Myers is this representation of evil, but it's, you know, it's still wrong to have an entire town straight up murder a guy. So it's like,
yeah,
I kind of just love that. And I love, a lot of people did not like this movie. A lot of people were like, what the hell is this Corey character doing here? But I kind of love that the series filters itself through this character now. And he's like this representation of sort of like incel rage almost in a little bit, where he, you know, he wants to be a good guy, but he's so like unwell, and he's so pushed by, I also love that he's bullied a lot, and the people who are bullying him are like the marching band at school, which is like such a very funny like David Gordon Green / Danny McBride detail, that where like the bullies in the movie are the school marching band, normally like dorks. But I you know, so I get why people didn't like this, because it's such a big swing, but that's really what I appreciate about it. Like, I don't think I'll ever really revisit Halloween Kills, but I know when Halloween season rolls around, I'm definitely going to rewatch this because I liked it so much.
Yeah, it has like this really interesting thing with Michael Myers where, like, you know much more about this franchise than I do, but it seems like he's almost like Michael Myers is living in a sewer. It seems like he's built this underground lair. It's unclear exactly how long he's been down there, but I think at least like a couple years or something. And he's just kind of hanging out in the sewer. And then he meets this Corey character. And it's almost as if he like transfers his evil, his essence or something into this Corey character who then goes around and starts becoming a murderer after like, what a banger of an opening sequence with the kid and the stairs and all that. I don't want to give anything more away than that in case you haven't seen the movie, but man, what a fantastic way to open this movie. And then, yeah, I just thought it was like really interesting that Michael Myers is like, you know, the anticipation, the expectation from audiences was that he, you know, this is going to be the culminating battle basically between him and Laurie Strode. And that happens, but it's so much more of an afterthought. And I don't know, I guess if maybe if this was a franchise that that I was like super heavily invested in and had sort of like, you know, built my entire identity around, like a lot of folks in the horror community, I can certainly understand why people would be miffed at this movie, because it just doesn't really, it's not super interested in giving people, you know, what they want or like what they expected. So I'm curious if this is going to be one of those ones like Halloween 3, which has been reclaimed in the past whatever 10 years or something, right? If that's going to be the future for this movie too, like give it some time and then people will come around to it and be like, oh, this one actually was good, and maybe even some of the same people who were mad at it originally will kind of come around to it. So I don't know, do you have any predictions about how this is going to go based on, you know, your experiences in the horror community and sort of seeing some of this stuff play out?
Yeah, I could absolutely see this being reappraised in a few years and people catching, because like, again, I feel like everyone was expecting, like you said, this big final showdown between Laurie Strode and Michael Myers. And you get that, but it's also like, if you want a movie where Michael Myers fights Laurie Strode, there are a bunch of movies like that already. You can just get, you can watch the original Halloween. You can watch Halloween 2. You can watch the 2018 Halloween. And this is something different. And like, you know, like you said, Halloween 3, when that came out, everyone was like, where the hell is Michael Myers? What is this? And over time, people realize that, like, you know, once you get past that initial shock, there's a really interesting, neat little horror movie here. And I really do think and hope that in a few years people come around to Halloween Ends and realize that, like, oh, we were too hard on this movie. It's actually a lot better than we gave it credit for.
Yeah. Okay, so I also had a chance to watch Barry Lyndon for the first time. This movie is streaming on HBO Max right now. And I didn't really know anything about this. I thought it was going to be like a war movie, basically. And there definitely is a war component to this. Like, it takes place during the Seven Years War, which I don't know about you, Chris, but like my public school education kind of failed me on like, creating a lasting impression of the details of the Seven Years War. So I kind of had to go into Wikipedia and like, look, okay, what are the, who are the players in this? What exactly was the source of this conflict? What was going on? But it was, I really enjoyed this movie a lot. It's not nearly as much of a pure war movie as I thought it was going to be. And evidently, like, there's a story that Kubrick was going to direct this Napoleon movie for a long time. And like, he kind of rolled some of that research into the making of this. But, what are your Barry Lyndon, thoughts, Chris? Any?
Barry Lyndon is phenomenal. Barry Lyndon is actually my favorite Kubrick movie. I love Barry Lyndon. It's such a gorgeous movie about a guy who's a complete asshole. It's just this beautifully made like work of art about this total asshole who just like fails upward into like high society, and he's just a complete piece of shit and he doesn't really learn anything. He's just like a complete jerk, and it's just like every frame of this movie is just a gorgeous, and Kubrick did this thing where, first of all, he did this thing where all the light in the movie is natural. So it's done like via sunlight and candles, and there's no like artificial lighting. And the other thing he did is he stages these like tableaus where like it almost looks like you're looking at a painting and then people start moving. And I just, I love this movie. It's so good. I'm probably going to rewatch it soon just because we're talking about it now.
Yeah, man, it's incredible. It's so beautiful to look at and super funny too. Like I wasn't expecting it to be as funny as it is, but Ryan O'Neal starring as this, yeah, like you said, just complete shitheel character. And yeah, just like basically being a fail son and kind of working his way up the societal ladder is incredibly entertaining to watch. It does not feel like homework in the slightest. And it is, it's another long movie, but man, I was just like completely riveted all the way through. There's like some, a couple duel sequences that are, I mean, just so transfixing and very funny, especially the final one. And there's, you know, it gets into some of the stuff that I feel like Kubrick has tapped into before, some of the thematic elements that he likes to explore. But like also there's this idea of like, you know, just the absolute idiocy of war and like these people walking, you know, in super fine clothes and everything, just walking along in a straight line on a battlefield, just walking into gunfire and like, you know, banging a drum and just like people getting mowed down on either side of you. And you're just like slowly moving down this, you know, across this field or whatever. Just the way that he depicts some of that is so, you know, it just makes the whole thing look so ridiculous. So yeah, I found myself really, really loving this. I thought Marissa Berenson, who evidently was just like, I guess, a model before this and hadn't really done much by way of acting before, was really great. She pops up in like the back half of the movie as Lady Lyndon, that is Ryan O'Neill's character's wife. And I thought she did really great work, especially for not being like a super, I don't know what we would call it, trained actress or whatever. Mm-hmm. But man, yeah, so funny. I was just like, yeah, really blown away by this movie. I think it's certainly up there. I mean, it's tough with Kubrick movies because there are so many that are like, I saw 2001 in the theater for the first time a few years ago. And like my mind was completely blown at like how influential that was on basically every single space movie that came after that. And it was just kind of this incredible experience. And then like The Shining sort of lives in this bubble all its own. So it's almost like impossible to compare Kubrick movies to, you know, like elevate one over the other because they do different things and they're so like impactful in their individual genres or whatever. But yeah, and just like a personal level and maybe like, yeah, slowly climbing up my personal favorite ranks of his, this one's pretty up there. So yeah. If you've not seen it, we obviously recommend checking it out. It's on HBO Max right now. And then I watched, actually just this morning before signing on to work, I watched Midnight Cowboy for the first time. Have you ever seen this?
I saw it a long time ago and I mostly just know it from like the iconic scenes, like when Dustin Hoffman does the, I'm walking here and he hits the cab. And it's also back before John Voight was insane. So
yeah. Yeah, I think John Voight and Dustin Hoffman both have some, I don't know, let's call it like off-screen difficulties or something. Yeah. If you want to, you know, they're not necessarily like people that I would want to hang out with or you know, say are good men in any way. Yeah. But they both are very young in this movie, which came out in 1969. This is like the youngest I've ever seen John Voight. Oh, and one of the other things they had at the Academy Museum was there was a room dedicated to casting, and they had a video going in the background sort of on a loop. And it was like early casting footage or audition footage of a bunch of different people. They had like McConaughey from Dazed and Confused, which I think people have probably seen that clip of him like fake driving the car and stuff before. But they also had a clip from John Voight for Midnight Cowboy. And so it was cool that, you know, I got to watch the movie like very close after or very soon after seeing that footage. But yeah, he's like so young and they're so, both of them are so, so good in this movie, despite my, you know, qualms with them as human beings or whatever. I didn't even know this movie won Best Picture at the Oscars and whatever that was, 1970, I guess, early 1970. But this is like one of the, I don't know if there's a subgenre that you can think of, Chris, where like other movies would be included in this, but it's like one of those go to the city and the city kicks your ass movies. You know, yeah. Like the idea of like, you know, this guy who's played by John Voight is like dressed up as this cowboy. I think he's coming from, you know, Texas or whatever. And he just goes to New York City because he basically wants to become like a sex worker. And he just thinks that like women are going to be throwing themselves at him and he's just going to get all this action and become rich and famous or whatever. And he just arrives in the city and like nobody gives a shit about him the whole time. And like, you know, he meets Rizzo, played by Dustin Hoffman, who is like basically he's like injured. I think it's he had some sort of leg injury or something. And like his whole life is just living out of a trash can, basically. Like these guys just live in this abandoned, condemned apartment where there's no heat and no air, and they're just kind of barely scraping by. They're like doing whatever they can to make, you know, $3 so they can buy the next day's coffee or whatever. And it is just so far, the gulf between his vision of what he wanted to do in New York City when he got there and then what actually happens is just like, you know, the size of the Grand Canyon. It's incredible. So I liked this movie for the bleakness of it, almost like the idea that like, hey, just because you think you're, you know, hot shit, like the world doesn't necessarily care about you in the way that you might think it does. So it's a bit of a, I don't know what, it's not necessarily like a super tough watch or anything, but it's just like, it's not a happy-go-lucky kind of movie in any way. And I didn't really know much about it except for the, hey, I'm walking here thing either. So yeah, I was surprised and pleasantly surprised by like how much I enjoyed those two lead performances and just like the sort of like pull no punches approach of this movie, which was directed by John Schlesinger, who also directed, let's see what else he directed, a couple really famous movies, right? Marathon Man, that was the one I was thinking of. And Pacific Heights. Did you ever see Pacific Heights, Chris? You know,
I did, the Michael Keaton movie where Michael Keaton is a villain, which is so rare.
And yeah,
like,
yeah,
it's a cool movie.
Yeah, he's like a tenant, I think, who moves into these renters' houses and or apartment or whatever, and like basically just becomes like the tenant from hell. So
yeah, he like destroys their like posh San Francisco house for no reason. He's just doing it because he's a piece of shit.
Yeah, and that's one of the great movie houses, the Pacific Heights house. So if you haven't seen that movie, I'd recommend checking that out too. So Midnight Cowboy, where is that streaming right now? Let me see. Let me look this up in real time. I am vamping. Midnight Cowboy. Sorry, I should have this up beforehand, and it is currently streaming on Paramount Plus or Tubi. Evidently it's also on DirecTV if you have that. So and you can rent it at Amazon and whatever, YouTube, Apple, for like $4 if you want to check that out. So yes, that will do it. Any closing Midnight Cowboy thoughts, Chris?
I'm inspired. I'm going to go to New York and become a sex worker now. I learned nothing from what you just said. I just heard you can make money, go to the city and become
a
stud.
Big city, baby. All right.
I'm going to meet up with Rizzo and we're going to live out of a trash can. It's going to be great.
Amazing. All right. Well, that's going to bring us to the end of today's episode. You can find more about a lot of the stuff that we've mentioned on today's show at slashfilm.com and linked inside the show notes for this episode. Slash Film Daily is published every weekday, bringing the most exciting news from the world of movies and TV, as well as deeper dives into the great features you can find on the site. You can subscribe to the show on Apple, Google, Overcast, Spotify, all the popular podcast apps. Please subscribe to our newsletter. Send your feedback, questions, comments, concerns, and mailbag topics to us at peter@slashfilm.com. Make sure to leave your name and general geographic location in case we mention your email on the air. Don't forget to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Tell your friends, spread the word. Thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you next time.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you. with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.